Oh, good to see you here this morning, and praise the Lord for the opportunities to hopefully encourage you a bit from the Word of God today. And as I was just praying and thinking over the last few months about what to bring for a young adult session, that weird category of people, young adults, I just felt burdened to maybe share a few things that have helped me, having, you know, just been through, youth and young adulthood not too long ago. And just some principles in the Word of God on how to discern God's will. And, you know, when we're at this stage of life, young adults, that's often a question that's very big on our minds. How am I going to know the will of God for my life? Which career should I pursue? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? What is God's calling for my life? These are the questions that are very relevant to us throughout our whole lives, but particularly, you know, as you're going through the later teen years and into young adulthood, these are questions that are on our hearts a lot. Now, you should hopefully have a little worksheet to fill out as we go. Has anybody not got a copy? Okay, all right, so take a seat. Thank you for that, Sam. All right, just as by way of introduction, let's just read those verses on the front of your sheet there. And well known to many of us, in fact, you could probably just quote them from memory this morning, but let's just recite them or read them together on the count of three. One, two, three. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these moments together. Lord, I pray that you would help each one in this room to get a hold of these principles from your word that will help them in discerning your will for their lives. Lord, we thank you that you have not just left our lives up to chance, but you do have a plan for us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would desire above all else to be in the center of your will, to know your guidance and direction. Lord, I pray for each of the young people here this morning, Lord, that none of them would be lost to Satan, that each one of them, Father, would find your perfect will for their lives, and that you would mightily use each one. We thank you, Lord, for the potential in this room, for lives lived for your glory. And so we look to you now to bless these moments together. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be our primary teacher, that you would assist both the speaker and the hearer, Lord, and that we would just receive something from your word this day. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. So we want to look at this subject today on some keys, some principles from the word of God on how to know the will of God. So I hope you have a pen. You can just fill these out as we go through. Under the introduction there, I've just noted that there are two parts. That's your first filling. Two parts or two aspects to the will of God. Okay, as I see it. Firstly, we have the general, what I call the general will of God. And this is those things which are clearly revealed in Scripture and apply to all Christians. Okay, so these are the clear commands of the Word of God. So, for example, church attendance, giving, being involved in missions, soul winning, respect for authority. These are all things that are within the category of God's general revealed will. They apply to every believer. Okay, so those things are not so hard for us to understand. We can usually get a pretty good grasp of those things. But what I want to focus on this morning is the second point there, the specific will of God. And this relates to the decisions I must make in my life that are not clearly spelled out in Scripture. For example, which career should I pursue, or who is my future spouse? Okay, there's no verse in the Bible that's going to tell you thou shalt marry Mary. Okay, I heard a story of one man who was desperate to know the will of God. He was going out with a girl by the name of Maria. And he really wanted to know if she was the one. He walked into a Catholic church to try and get some guidance, sat down and saw written above the altar, Ave Maria, and he thought, I've got it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, does it? And so we need to look to other principles that are within the Word of God that will help us in determining some of those things. Okay, so I want to help you with that this morning as best I can. So the aim of this study is to focus on the key principles that will equip us for discerning God's will as it relates to the specific will of God for our lives, okay? And so we're going to just run through some principles here that I believe will help you. And I just trust that at the outset here, your desire is to know God's will for your life and to fulfill that. And I believe that this message really builds well on what we heard yesterday from Brother Neil Smith. He talked about how God has uniquely crafted every one of us. And he used the illustration of the tools in the toolbox. And I believe that God has crafted each one of us for a specific purpose and plan. And so our desire should be to get in tune with what God is doing in our lives and fulfill that. So the first principle we have here is really fairly basic but very necessary, is we are to realize, that's the word there, that God has a specific plan for your life. Now that may sound very basic, but we do actually need to start with that, because sometimes as believers we almost live as if, you know, we're the master of our own destiny, and that somehow, you know, we just have to map out our own course. You know, we have different things told us in the world, follow your heart, do what feels good, all those sort of different unbiblical philosophies out there. And so this is really a starting point. We must first understand this foundational principle that God does have a specific plan for my life, and believing that and accepting that. So a few points about that. We notice that God has a perfect will for us. Perfect will for us. Notice the words highlighted there at the end of our key text there, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and what's that word there? Perfect. Circle that word. Perfect will of God. Sometimes we have the idea that there's kind of a number of options, and, you know, maybe there's A, B, and C, and they're all on an equal level, and it's kind of just up to me to decide. But I don't believe that. I believe the Bible tells us here that God actually has a will for our lives, which is good, acceptable, and it is perfect. Okay? All right, second point there. God has a pre-planned path for our lives. God has a pre-planned path for our lives. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, this is an interesting verse, because it comes right on the tail end of verse 8 and 9. We know that those verses well, don't we? For by grace you're saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand we are not saved by works, but then the verse goes right on there in verse 10 to tell us that we have been saved with a purpose. We've been saved unto good works. Okay, so God didn't just save you and I with the intent of just giving us fire insurance, getting us on our way to heaven, and then just leaving our lives up to blind chance or to fate. Okay, God, who knows all things, he knew you would be saved. Okay, when you got saved, that didn't take God by surprise. God knew that. And on the basis of his foreknowledge, God made some plans for your life. And so we need to understand that. That God has a good works. He has a field of service for you and I that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God does have a pre-planned path for our lives. Now, we can either submit to that plan and seek to cooperate with what God would have for our lives, or through our own foolishness, we can abort that plan, can't we, and go our own way. So the word workmanship here in this verse has the idea of a work of art. It's the Greek word poem, essentially. And so we get the picture there that my life is like a canvas on God's easel, or should be. And so we need to come to God with that mindset, that we just want to be on his easel and allow God to paint into our lives what he would have. And, you know, if you've ever seen an artist, you know, painting a painting, sometimes it doesn't always make a lot of sense to begin with. Filling in the background shades, you think, that just looks ugly, that looks weird. But as it unfolds and as the picture comes to its completion, you begin to see the full picture in its beauty. And that's often how God is working with our lives. We are his workmanship, and his plan for us just unfolds one shade at a time until we see, hopefully by the end of our lives, the full picture of what God has done. And probably not entirely until we get to heaven will we fully understand even all of God's purposes. So we need to understand, this is foundational, is understanding that God does have a plan for my life, as we heard yesterday. Number C there, point C, God's plan for us existed before we were even born. And consider some examples here from the Bible. Samson, I'm not going to read all those verses there. You can read them in your own time, but simply draw your attention to the highlighted words towards the end. For lo, thou shalt conceive, the angel said to Samson's mother there, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be, circle that little phrase there, shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So here we see before Samson was even conceived, God actually had a plan for this boy. Jeremiah, and I believe we looked at this verse yesterday, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God already had a pre-planned path. He had a calling for the life of Jeremiah before he was even born. And I believe that God has a plan for each one of us if we will get in touch with that. John the Baptist is the next example there. And again, we see this whole aspect of God having a plan for us before we're even born. We notice the word shall there. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, so do you get the principle there? God has a pre-planned path for our lives. And we need to understand that. Point D, God wants to shape our lives like clay in the potter's hand. Jeremiah 18:1-6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. So these are just some points that bring out to us that we need to realize that God does have a plan for our lives. And that really leads us now to the second principle that flows out of that we need to surrender wholeheartedly to God's will. Okay, so firstly, I understand, okay, my life is not just by accident. Like we heard yesterday, I wasn't made in the wrong way. God has perfectly formed me for a specific task. And so I understand that. God actually has some plans for my life. He has a preordained path he wants me to follow. And then the second point that flows out of that is I need to surrender wholeheartedly to the will of God. Now, how are we going to really know the will of God in our lives if we don't start here? Okay. So often we talk about wanting to know God's will, but then we're not prepared to surrender to his will. And you know, I can testify for myself, you know, a lot of believers actually struggle more than we realize at times about this whole matter of just unreservedly and totally putting themselves into the hands of God. And there's all sorts of sometimes fear involved with that. What is God going to do? I remember asking my mum, I said, do you think maybe, you know, if it comes to God's will for who I'm going to marry, what if God gives me an ugly wife? That's silly. It's teenage thinking, isn't it? But these are some of the things we almost feel like sometimes that God has something. It's like God's up there rubbing his hands. He's planning something nasty for us, for his will for our lives. Now, of course, you know, trials and tribulations are a part of his will. I'm not saying that it's all smooth sailing. But, you know, the more you get to know your Heavenly Father, and you begin to understand his character and his love for you and his greatness, the more you will trust him that he has your best interest at heart and that God has the perfect will for your life. So we need to surrender, and I encourage you, if you've never done that, you can't do a better thing than just place yourself completely in the hands of God. Say, Lord, I'm yours, all of me, and whatever you want to do with me, I'm willing to do that. So we have a few examples here of those who have surrendered to the will of God. We have the example of Jesus Christ, and we can't get a better example than that, can we? Of someone who is completely submitted to the Father's will. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ was totally surrendered to the will of the Father? We wouldn't be seated here this morning, would we? Now, we know that it's not possible that Christ could ever sin. He was perfect, but just imagine the scenario where Christ did not submit to the Father's will. Now, we know that's not possible because he's God and he's perfect and he could never not, but surrender to his Father's will, but we understand, I guess, the implications there, and so we're thankful for the Lord Jesus and for his surrender. So Hebrews 10:7 says, then said I, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. John 6:38, what did Jesus say there? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was perfect, fully God and fully man, in his humanity, he wrestled with submitting to God's will. He did, as the perfect man. And so the Lord Jesus knows what it is. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understood what it was to live as man. And he wrestled as man, as perfect man, with the will of God. But he was surrendered. Don't you see that? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. All right, the example of the Apostle Paul. And you can think of others as well, but this is just to illustrate the principle. Acts 9, verse 6, and he, trembling and astonishing, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So, there's another great example. We believe Saul, who became Paul, was converted or saved on the road to Damascus. And, you know, the heart cry of this of Paul in his infancy in the Lord was, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, that's a good sign that you've actually been saved. You know, that should be the natural cry of our hearts once we've been saved. Lord, what do you want me to do? There's a craving and a desire in our hearts to be in tune with what God would have us do. And so we see in Paul another man who is surrendered to the will of God and how God mightily used him. So this is important, we surrender to God. You know, sometimes I think we come to God with a checklist. And I've even heard it, people speak of it this way. Well, this is how I know God's will, because when God does this, and this, that'll be how I know it's God's will. Hang on a second. You should come to God with a blank sheet of paper. Now, I know we have different ideas that we can bring to the Lord. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's not up to us to come up with our own checklist to enforce upon God and say, okay, God, here's the criteria whereby I will know your will. And I encourage people, when I talk to them about the will of God, I say, when you come to God, you may have all your ideas or whatever, just hand God a blank sheet of paper and say, God, you write on there what you want my life to be. Give it entirely to him. Be careful about coming to God with your own checklist, okay? So we need to surrender completely to the will of God. Third principle, and really all of these three first principles are principles that prepare us for principle number four we'll get to in a moment, where we actually get down to some of the mechanics and some of the truths that will help us with discerning the specific things. But these are all preparation for that, okay? If you're not surrendered to the will of God, how are you possibly going to know the will of God specifically for those various areas in your life? All right, so the third principle is get busy doing what you already know to be God's will, i.e. his general will. This is another very important principle for knowing the will of God. get busy doing what you already know to be God's will, the general will of God. You know, sometimes we're so consumed as a young adult with what's in the future, we miss what God has for us right in front of us right now. What God has for us right now to do. And I see a principle here in Scripture that those who are sincere and passionate about doing what they already know God wants them to do will be the ones that will hear from God more readily on the specific things. Okay? If you are not consumed right now with a life of obedience to God and living your life for God and just doing what everything you understand God's will to be in the Word of God already, then how can you expect God to speak to you about those specific things? All right? So get busy doing what you already know to be God's will. Now, we pick up the principle for this there in Acts 13. We see that God's will is revealed to those who are serious about his general will. And we're going to consider the example of Barnabas and Saul. It says in Acts 31 through 2, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Please circle this, the word as. As they, and then underlined, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here you see men, Barnabas and Saul, engaged in the general will of God. What are they doing? They're serving the Lord. Where? In their local church. Serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord, they're fasting, and as they were in the process of serving God in their local church faithfully, the Holy Spirit spoke about a specific calling he had for them, which was, we know, ended or commenced Paul's great missionary career. So can you see that? As they were ministering to the Lord, as they were serving the Lord in the general will of God, okay, what they knew to be God's will, then the Spirit of God was at liberty to speak to them about his specific calling for their lives. And so I encourage you, get involved in what you already know God's will to be for every Christian. And as you serve the Lord, and as you're faithful in serving the Lord will speak to you as a serving Christian, and he'll reveal to you his specific will. All right, so we have a question there. What are some things we know are God's will for every Christian that we can get involved with? We've got four blank lines there, and I'm going to ask you to give me some suggestions to write down. Hands up. Oliver. Pardon? Okay, I knew the last name. Yeah. Witnessing. Okay, write that down. Soul winning. All right. Do we have to pray about whether we need to be a soul winner or not? No. That's clearly revealed. Okay. There are certain commands in the Word of God that are for all Christians, all of us to be soul winners, so we can be involved with that. Absolutely. Another one.
Faithfulness.
Definitely. So faithfulness in as a Christian in many different areas. Faithfulness in church. Faithfulness to read my Bible, devotions, those sort of things. Any other? Sam?
Prayer.
Prayer. Absolutely. Very good. All right. God will reveal his will to a praying person. So these are just examples. Another one? Yes? Ministries in the church. Absolutely. Okay. So again, don't get so focused on what might be in the future that you miss the opportunities to serve right now. Your pastor needs your help. And, you know, you have a unique opportunity right now in your life as a single to dedicate maybe a little bit more time to the ministry. Now, I know that doesn't mean, I know sometimes people have the idea if you're single, you've got endless amounts of time on your hand. I know that's not true, okay? You guys are busy and you've got things to, you know, and each phase of life has its challenges. But seize the opportunities right now that God has for you and get involved in prayer and the service of the church. Go to your pastor, say, what can I do to help? And God will reveal his will to you in his time, like he did with Barnabas and Saul, as you serve the Lord faithfully. So get busy doing what you already know to be God's will. All right, so we have those examples there. Attending church attendance, cultivating my personal walk with the Lord, serving in the ministry of the church, soul winning, children's ministry, and many other things, okay? All right, number four now. Learn to recognize the signposts of God's will. So here we get down to some of the specific scriptural principles that will help you now with discerning God's will in some of those areas. Now, there may be more, but I've found these to be very real in my own life and have seen it in a number of, just discerning God's will in a number of areas, and it's been a great blessing to me, so I'll just pass that on to you and hope that it'll help you. So the signposts. We want to look for, you know, for God giving us some clear signposts directing us in his will, okay? Whether that be future spouse, the sort of work we're going to do, what God wants me to do with my life, all these questions that we have that we don't necessarily find a clear verse of Scripture for, but we have scriptural principles to help us. So the first one there is the guidance of Scripture. Okay, it's a good place to start, isn't it? Now, I just want to say, in a sense, before we get into to too many of these here, but that we need to be careful about relying on just any one of these, and I'll explain a little bit what I mean as we go. I believe that when God's really leading us in his will, you'll begin to see green lights in each of these truths. Okay. Now, the reason I say that, you might say, but can we get anything better than the guidance of Scripture? No, absolutely not. But I can sometimes deceive myself, and I'll give you an example. Okay, personal illustration. I was about 18 years of age, and I was pretty sweet on this young lady, Christian young lady, and she was nice. And I had lots of verses. I mean, I had tons of verses about this girl. I was reading through the book of Proverbs, and he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I had reams of verses, about this girl, but she didn't end up being God's will for me. Okay, and so sometimes, I'm just saying, we know that, I believe God can speak to us through the Word of God, 100%. He can, but sometimes, if feelings are involved, we can just, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's just us. Okay, so I believe that God has given us some other safeguards as we go through here, and you'll find that each one will be lining up. So be careful about that. I know of another brother I spoke to some time ago, it's a couple of years ago now, and he said, "Well, look, when I look for the will of God," he said, "all I do is I get on my knees, I pray, and I just get a verse, and then that's it." Now, the only problem was, is he was actually, what he was coming up with out of the verse from the Old Testament was clearly in contradiction to a very clearly established doctrine in the New Testament. And he was inflexible. I said, but hang on, in the book of Acts, can't you see the pattern here for missions? This is clearly laid down in the missions textbook of the New Testament. Oh, no, but I just got this verse. So we have to be careful and allow, just understand that human error can be involved. Be careful of the flip and stab method. Okay, have you heard of that? I just need to know God's will. I'm just going to flip open the Bible and put my finger somewhere and hopefully find out what God's will is. One man tried to do that, and he really needed to know God's will. And so he flipped open the Bible, put his finger on a verse, opened his eyes, and it said Judas went and hanged himself. And he thought, that can't be right. I need to get another verse. He closed the book of the Bible again, opened, put his finger on the verse, opened his eyes, said, go and do thou likewise. So we've got to be careful of that, okay, the flip and stab method, all right? But having said all of that, the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. And saturate your life in the Word of God. The Word of God is going to guide you. So, for example, you say, how could that play out in practice? Well, I'm really interested in this young lady over here. Okay, first question, is she a Christian? No. Okay, well then you already know the Word of God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. She's off the list. Amen. Straight away. Amen. Okay. I believe God's brought her into my life so I can reach her with the gospel. Okay, so this is where the Word of God can help. Okay, so Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. So you want to know God's will, get into the Word of God, saturate your life in the Word of God, and God can speak to you about specific things. I've had experiences like that. Like I said, I got it wrong with one particular girl there. But there's been other times in my life where I have discerned the leading of the Spirit. And you know it's not coincidence. You're just in your devotions and you've read a particular verse and God uses that verse to speak to you about a specific situation. Maybe a promise from God's word. How many of you have had an experience like that where you've just read something in a timely... Yep. And you know God has spoken to you. So the Word of God is going to help you. Get into the Word of God for discerning the will of God for your life. Okay, point B, the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, he can give us a peace about things, and he can direct us, and ultimately he speaks to us through the Word of God. Now again, be careful about relying on just this on its own. There are many Christians who have said, I've got such a peace, and it's just they go away from the Word of God. All right? So again, we need to see each of these lights turning green, as it were. Okay, so we have the Word of God, the leading of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can unsettle us. I know for myself, I've been troubled. Have you ever felt troubled in spirit about something? Just don't feel at this time that the Lord is just unsettling me about this. So I need to wait on the Lord and seek His will. Okay, now understand, keep the Word of God open. The Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. You know, people say, the Bible says this. Oh yes, but the Spirit told me. That's not the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit will not lead you contrary to the book that He has written. Okay, so understand that when it comes to leading of the Spirit of God, it's not some mystical thing, but we do believe that the Spirit of God works in our lives in this area. So Acts chapter 13, verse 2, we see as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit made His will known in the early church there, but somehow the Holy Spirit made His will known and spoke there so that Barnabas and Saul would know that that they were separated for that work, and it was within the context of the local church there. The Lord seemed to put it on the hearts of the church, of the people in the church. Acts 16, 6 through 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, if we'd been in charge of Paul's missions team, or his sending church, we probably would have sacked him and said, what are you doing? There's hundreds of thousands of souls there in Asia Minor that need to be saved. And Paul did go there later, but at this particular point in time, the Holy Spirit said, no, not there. And the Spirit of God was directing him to the Macedonian call and to Lydia, wasn't it? And seeing her saved. So we believe the Spirit of God can lead us as we keep the Word of God open before us, as we seek His will. He will minister to us and help us to know His will. Third one, and this one's very, very important, the counsel of godly individuals. All right, how do I know the will of God for my life? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to? What sort of job am I going to take? All these questions that we have, the counsel of godly individuals, and this will help you as well. Okay, so as you look to these, there's four signposts here. As each of these signposts say go, you should be on track. Okay, so the Word of God, the leading of the Spirit. Do I have a peace from the Lord about this, or do I feel unsettled? Then the counsel of godly individuals. Now, as I just read these verses on counsel, I want you to look out for the word safety and circle it as we go through. Right, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is what? Say it out loud. Safety. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is what?
Safety.
Proverbs 29:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So the Bible has a lot to say about counsel in our lives. And as I've emphasized to you there, godly counsel provides us with safety. Safety. So, okay, it might be, to put it in practical terms, I believe the Lord's speaking to me through His Word about something. I seem to have a peace from the Lord by the Holy Spirit about this. Then go and sound it off some godly people you know and get their counsel. Okay, and God will use those counselors in your life. And you know, this is important because sometimes people who are outside of our lives somewhat, or we could say not directly maybe involved in your situation, can often see things that you fail to see. You know, sometimes we're in situations in our lives and we're caught up in just maybe, you know, what we have before us. Maybe, you know, there's feelings involved or whatever there might be. But people who are standing on the outside can often see things with a greater level of objectivity. And they can be a help to you as you seek God's will. All right. So let's list some examples of people we go to for counsel. I appreciated what Brother Smith said yesterday, that in our generation, we tend to just jump to the internet. And, you know, between Siri and Google, we've got everything covered. I sometimes mimic Siri's voice with my wife, because when I'm driving home, usually from the office at church, I'll often just, it is handy, I'll just dictate the text while I'm driving. And say, hey Siri, you know, hi babe, full stop, you know, I'm on my way home. And then it reads it back to me, hi babe. You know, it's crazy, but anyway. We do need to learn. In fact, I just read an article, as at Macca's the other night, when I arrived, got here late because my flight was delayed. And I just the newspaper was there on the table, and I just had a bit of a thumb through and cover a few pictures. But there was an interesting article there by someone who the research had been done that this particular generation, because of the saturation in media, they're actually deficient now in just normal social interaction skills to interact with people. So they're saying a lot of young people today, because they spend so much time interacting online, they don't actually know even basic things like how to discern how someone's feeling by their countenance or how to give proper eye contact. And they just gravitate back to connecting on cyberspace. So there's a real need today to seek out counsel. Okay, so but I've hooked into this great preacher from America. Listen, every preacher in America is sharp, okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to tell you the truth, okay? They all sound sharp, and they might have a great big smile, but, you know, today it's like we've lost that teachable spirit of coming to those in authority over us with a teachable spirit and actively seeking out counsel. You know, sometimes we sort of take the position of, well, you know, I'll just sit here and wait for them to come and tell me things. No, you learn to actively seek it out. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 5 that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know that godly people are not always forthcoming with counsel. They sometimes are just quiet, humble people. And I like to ask, for example, preachers who have been in the ministry longer than I have, questions, and I cross-question them to try and draw out some of their wisdom and find out what they have to say. All right, so let's list some examples of people we could go to for counsel. Again, I'll get your suggestions here. Hands up. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. So someone who's already had experience in that particular area that you're interested in, that's a good example. Yep, anyone else?
Mature-age believers up to where Ron did.
Yeah, so mature-age believers, okay, in the church. Seek out some of the elderly. Okay, we tend to have the big age divide now, you know, where young people don't really seek out the elderly people. It's not actually that way in some other cultures, old, young, kids, they all mix a lot more together. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy time as young people together, but learn to value what the older people have to say and seek them out, get their counsel. Any other suggestions? Yes?
Pastor.
Pastor, very good. Write that one down. Okay, if your pastor's worth his salt, if he loves you and prays for you, which he probably does, then it'd be wise to go to him for counsel. What do you think about this? This is what I have in mind. All right? Very important. Any others? Yes? Parents, I was waiting for that one. Thank you. Definitely. You know, I believe that that Satan really wants to disengage us from our parents as young people. I've been there. For some reason, I don't know what it is, for some reason as a young person, the tendency is that everybody else out there has more credibility than your parents. Maybe you're not that way, but I struggle with that. But learn to seek out your parents. I don't know, sometimes we have a bit of a psychological barrier there that we're so scared to go and talk to a dad or mum about things. But generally, if you'll seek them out, if they love you, which I'm sure they do, then they will give you wise counsel. Definitely. Okay, they've seen you from the cradle to the cradle up. They know you better than anybody else. And you're very blessed, particularly if you have godly parents who know the Lord. Value their counsel. And you might say, look, I've got unsaved parents. Well, I'd still say, in things relating to general matters in this life, they still have some wisdom for you to draw on. They're probably not going to be able to help you much when it comes to the Christian life. But as far as general worldly knowledge about some of what happens out there, about work life and those sort of things, even if you have unsaved parents, there's still a God-ordained authority in your life. You can still learn from them. I know an example of an unsaved dad who advised his daughter. He was very concerned about this bloke she was interested in. And she went against his counsel. Unsaved man, wasn't a Christian, but he was concerned, had red lights. She went ahead and eventually had to flee from him. She nearly got murdered by him. So even unsaved parents can have wisdom that we can draw on. Okay? Any other? It's another one I've got here in my notes that no one's mentioned yet.
Deacons.
Friends. Write that down. The right type of friends, okay? Not like Absalom, who had a friend who advised him very wrongfully. Okay, and that's another point, isn't it? Be very careful who you get your counsel from. The Bible warns, the Bible encourages us to seek out good counsel. At the same time, it warns us about the wrong sort of counsel. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, so don't look to Hollywood and the movie stars and the sports heroes for your counsel as your pattern for life. They might look all sophisticated and like they've got it all together on the outside, but they're broken. Their lives are a mess, and you don't want to look to them for counsel or for some ungodly teenager in the church. Okay, but if you've got a godly friend, seek their counsel. Again, if they're a true friend, they'll not just tell you what you always want to hear. Okay, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. Okay, again, we live in this environment today where everything's got to be thumbs up. I like this, I like that. And we can't accept any sort of negative feedback and we react to that. But we need to learn to accept the positive as well as the negative. And again, if you have a true friend who loves you, okay, he or she's not going to give you that sort of counsel because they've got it in for you. They're going to do that out of love. Now, they might not get it right. We don't always get it right in our counsel, but you should at least, at the very least, have an appreciation for a friend who's willing to speak into your life. All right. So counsel is very important. You say, well, what do we do when it's all said and done? You might speak to a number of people, get even a variety of different things. Well, when it's all said and done, this is an individual thing. You have to make your decision before the Lord. But don't step over that principle. Don't ignore that principle. So get into the Word of God, trust the Holy Spirit to lead you, and then bounce things off godly counsellors who can be a sounding board for you. Right, and then the last one here, the direction of circumstances. Okay, so this is the principle of the open and closed door. Open and closed door. Again, don't look to this one alone. You say, oh, got this great job opportunity. It's way up there in the Northern Territory somewhere, double the sort of pay I can get here. It must be God's will. It might not be. Is there a good church there? Okay. Sometimes you ask Christians that and it's like it's the last thing they thought of. Oh, I've got this great job. Okay, is there a church there? Oh, I haven't really thought about that yet. I guess I'll deal with that when I get there. Not a good idea. All right, so, but all these things working together, as we seek the Lord with an open heart, we'll notice that they begin to intersect and line up. So, Revelation 3, 7 through 8, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So here we see God is the one who opens up the doors of opportunity. All right, so again, God can direct us in our circumstances. Now, I believe that if we come to God sincerely, even if our feelings are telling us not to, and sincerely say, Lord, if this is not your will, would you slam the door shut? I believe the Lord will answer that prayer. And I've witnessed that in my own life. And I've prayed that way sometimes, even when I didn't feel like it, because sometimes the will of God runs against our natural desires. And so, Lord, if this is not your will, I want you to shut the door. Please make it very clear. And God will do that as we look to the open and closed doors, as the Lord directs providentially in the circumstances of our lives. So again, all these four truths, I would liken them to, if you could think of a traffic light situation. You want to look for four green lights, okay, as you're travelling on life's journey. Okay, you come to the first one, the scriptures. Do we have a green light, a red light, or maybe just an amber caution light? Okay. Second set of lights, the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay, working through the Word of God, green, red, or yellow. And then counsel, have I got a green light there? Circumstances. And I've seen this in my own life, these principles at work as a great blessing. Again, going back to the illustration, the young lady I was interested in the process of time, it came clear we weren't on the same page on some of our beliefs and different things and sort of arguing back and forwards. And I think I realised in time I was having an argument with the mother through the daughter. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, I went to my parents for counsel. And like I just said before, sometimes you're in the thick of it and you can't see things clearly. There's dust everywhere, okay? And I'm very thankful. At the time they said, look, Simeon, it's clear to us this is not going to work. But we'll support your decision, whatever you decide. They appreciate the fact they... In a sense, they put it back on me as a young adult. They didn't treat me like a five-year-old. They said, look, we'll back your decision, but to us it's very clear it's not going to work. Now, at the time, I couldn't see what they saw. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'm very, very thankful that at the time I had enough wisdom to know, look, if my parents have that insight, I'm just going to trust my parents and I'm going to end this whole thing. And I did that, and I'm very, very thankful. And in the process of time, I could start to see what they saw very clearly. All right, so, with discerning God's will for going to Adelaide, the church there, I could share many examples of how these principles have worked in our lives, how the Lord spoke to myself and my wife through the Scriptures. The Spirit of God, clear burden from the Lord for Adelaide. And then, godly counsel, those sounding boards. And then, of course, looking for the direction of circumstance. So I could have all the first three, but if the church voted against it, then obviously it would be a closed door. All right, but they didn't vote for it, and there we are. So many examples I could give you, and I just want to just give those to you. You might be able to think of other scriptural principles there, but these, to me, seem to be some of the key ones that will help us. But again, just coming to the Lord with an open heart. Lord, direct me, help me to know your will. And maybe that's really what we need to end with this morning. With those questions there in your conclusion, has there ever been a time in your life where you have said a complete yes to the will of God? That's where it starts. Trusting that God has a perfect will for your life and say, yes, Lord, whatever it is. You know, one of the things that I unconsciously ruled out in my mind for many years was pastoring. And I was called to preach at the age of 7 at Northside Baptist Church, actually, under the preaching of Tom Williams, Evangelist Tom Williams, during Brother Dennison's time, and had no idea that God would lead me back to that same church that I was called to preach in. For many years I just had in mind definitely not pastoring. And it's not that I had a stubborn, rebellious heart towards the Lord. It's just like it didn't make sense. No way. I'll be an evangelist or missionary, something like that. And then some years ago, probably 5 or so years ago, the Lord dealt with me about, the Spirit of God prompted my heart about the fact that I had never actually fully surrendered to the whole idea of pastoring. And I thought, okay, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'll surrender to it. Unbeknownst to me, the Lord was dealing with my wife about the same issue. So when I came to share that with her, she's like, yeah, I know, the Lord's dealt with me about this too. And I thought, okay, well, look, it must mean planting a church. Because I'm a bit of a go-getter and all of that, and must mean planting a church, wouldn't be taking over a church. And then a couple of churches through Bible College approached me about praying about taking over their churches, and I thought, well, I might as well just surrender to the whole lot. again, didn't make a loss. But I'm just saying, sometimes we have different ideas, but the Lord sometimes refines our understanding of his will as we progress. I knew I was called to preach, no doubt about that. As to the specific sphere, God had to just unfold that to me as I walked with him. So keep an open mind, go to the Lord with a blank sheet of paper, and he will make his will known to you if you will follow him. Question 2, are you actively seeking to fulfill the general will of God for your life while you wait on him for guidance in other areas? And are you seeking guidance through the right scriptural means? So I just hope that'll be a help. That was just what was on my heart, just thinking about young adults and where you're at this time in your life, and I sincerely pray that you will find God's perfect will for your life, and that God will help you through some of those thoughts today. Right, let's bow for prayer. Maybe as we bow to pray, you would just, in your heart, if you haven't already, or even say it again, Lord, I say a complete yes to whatever your will is. Who you have me marry, introduce this person, put them completely on the altar. Lord, your will be done. Surrender completely to the will of God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I just pray that you take some of these truths home to the hearts of these dear young people. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for them being here. And that, Lord, no doubt the fact they're here at these meetings this week is an indicator of their desire to hear something from you. And thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that each one of them would not fall captive to Satan's plan for their lives, but Lord, they would know your will for their lives. So put your hand upon each one, bless them, we pray. We just thank you, Lord, for the potential in this room to shake this nation and even further afield with the gospel. Lord, if we would wholly dedicate ourselves unto thee. So give us that surrendered heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, everybody.